Hi friends, hello the world. Welcome to this episode of Tools for Transition Humanitarians. I'm your host, Selena Modova. And today I want to talk about one of the reflections that I have been making about my non-systemic or non-system-centered life. And the reason why I wanted to do that is because I have talked more about my contractless life recently, and a lot of people could resonate with it and they really wanted it. And I really have been evolving that conversation of it even further and thinking about how and where this fear, that such an existential fear, comes up about having a contract, about having a job, about having stability, having things laid out for us. Where does this come from? And then I was really looking at my life and looking at how I have challenged a lot of the systems that I have been part of. And now I feel like I have come to a point where I am living my life in a non-system centered way. And I will give you examples, lots of examples of how that can look like. And so that we can start exploring where all of our or many of our problems we believe we have come from, and then how we actually even didn't have a chance in so many ways, not to have those problems. And plus, I would like us to explore how life can be that is not centered around a particular system and whether it's possible. And I would like to showcase with my life of how that is possible. And of course, I'm still in the learning. I'm still learning how that actually is when you are not part of a system. And I'm like having a lot of great insights into observing my life and like creating my way of doing things. And what I call this life is a free life, essentially. Like some people say, getting out of the matrix in some way, right? But I really want us to like explore how much our lives have been system-centered or system-centric, whichever the way that resonates, and how we can choose not to be living our lives that way if we choose to. And here are the reasons why I believe that we may need to question this, question the life that we've been having so far that is very system driven, system centered. Here are the reasons why. And I have noted down in my notebook. So that's why I will be really looking at some of the notes because I don't want to miss out on anything. So that we can start gaining awareness as to how much everything that we have been doing were so system heavy, right? So let me first maybe define for you what a system that I mean. And whenever I talk about system, probably many humanitarians, rightly so, talk about the humanitarian system, talk about the UN system, talk about USAID system, talk about European aid system, whichever it is, right? So you may think of those systems, and absolutely those are like very gigantic systems. But I would love to also talk about systems that are oppressive systems. So patriarchy is one of them. Colonized systems, or some version of occupying powers, right? Those are also very heavy systems that are imposing things, their way of doing things. And I would even argue that your traditional families are also part of that system. And the way that you know that this is a system that is imposing something on you is these are the ways that you will know it. And of course, this is not an exhaustive list, but I just find it so fascinating that to know them, or to easily detect them, is a system essentially is an organized, structured, hierarchical, oftentimes or most of the times, entity, if you call it, yes, entity, and that imposes their own rules, they our own way of doing things, their own value systems, principles, right? It imposes. And it is also, I would say, a more sophisticated way of doing things than the one that we used to have as communities or as groups back in the day when we are evolving. And then we have evolved those way of doing things as a community. We have evolved it and turned it into systems. And that's what we have been like trained to be part of it, or we have been told this is how things should be done. And even school systems are also systems, right? So the way that you know that you have been part of the system, like, I mean, religious systems might be another one. And I would say that a lot of people who try to get out of the religious systems, they have these as well. The way that you know that you have been part of the system and you have been living life system-centered way is when you feel like you need to be adjusting, adapting, fitting in, and belonging the whole time. And if you don't, you are the problem. Not the system is the problem, you are the problem, right? So that's one of the main ways that I think many of my humanitarians tell me is that they just feel like they don't belong. They feel like they're not really supposed to be doing things that the organization is doing. So therefore, this is one of the biggest ways that you will immediately know you've been part of the system where you are forced or you are made to believe that you need to be part of it. Excuse me. You need to belong. You need to learn how to belong. You need to learn how to adjust and adapt. You need to learn how to fit in. You need to know how to make the system happy, how to make it happy so that you are successful in life. And if you don't do that, you are wrong person, or you are a troublemaker, you are someone who shouldn't be, or who should be ashamed of themselves, or feel guilty, who should be trying harder, who should be worthy of the system's trust, who should be dignified to receive system support type of thing, right? So that's one of the biggest ways that you learn that you have been living a system-centered life. Another practical way that I think many of us can relate to is that we have been living system-centered life is that we wake up in the morning, like starting from, I don't know, 5 years old, 6 years old. In my case, it was 6 years old. And you are supposed to get up, whether it's dark or whatever, and have your breakfast and then go to school and do the things that the teachers told you, be part of that system and learn how to adjust to it. And especially in the beginning, you have no clue what's going on as a child, right? But you are forced to fit into that system. You are forced to learn how to do things. And then you are forced to also be shown that this is the right way of doing things. This is the wrong way of doing things. And this is how you can't fail. This is how you fail. And if you fail, you are not that intelligent, or you are not that this and this. And what we have then done is that as we grew up and became adults, what we have done is we have put our children into the system as well. And then we just kept cycling through that life that way. And we have also, as humanitarians, then felt justified. It was like somehow okay that we would do things that system told us to do for the sake of having a stability. So system would tell us that you do these things In these ways, then you get stability, privileges, perks, everything. But if you don't do them, then you fail. You become the person who is not good at doing things. You are not a professional. You are not this. You're not that. And then makes you so ostracized that you then feel like, no, that's not how I want to be seen. That's not how I want to live my life. And I want those perks and payments and all the other things. So therefore, let me be part of it. But the part that gets so fascinating to me is the part where system makes you wrong for not taking their identity. And I think that is something that I have seen not only in my humanitarian identity of being part of UN, but I have seen it even before when I was part of a group in Kyrgyzstan who did not speak Russian, who was not part of the elite group, right? And when I went getting became to university in my nearby town, what they then made me feel that you don't belong, you don't have the identity of someone who were raised to speak Russian, therefore you are wrong as a human. And everyone else who speaks Russian is rewarded and they're right. Right. And that is that identity piece is such a fascinating thing to me because what then you make that mean is that, oh, in order for me to be successful in life or in order for me to do things that I really want to, I need to belong to that group so that I can do the things that I want to. Feel such urge to take over their identity as soon as possible and showcase in so many different ways how I have taken that identity to a point that it feels wrong or not cool or not nice if I don't demonstrate it all of the time. And let me give you a concrete example on this is that I used to, at some point, hide where I come from back in the day. And of course, this was when I was very young, right? But I used to hide where I come from. I used to hide that I was educated in Kyrgyz. I used to showcase all the ways how I'm very good at Russian and speak to other fellow Kyrgyz people in Russian so that I can, what is the word? Brag. Yes, brag how I am very good at Russian and how I am now part of an elite in some way that I am more, I don't know, evolved. Yes, maybe that's even like the better way of explaining. Somehow I was more evolved speaking it. And I realized that if I didn't do those things, then as if I would feel I'm not worthy. I would feel I'm not intelligent enough. I'm not evolved enough. And that's why if I take over the identity that everyone else finds it cool, which is part of the system's identity, right? If I don't do that, then I will feel bad about myself. I will feel not worthy as a human, not dignified as a human. So therefore, I need to keep demonstrating that I actually know I have learned it. I have taken over the identity and all of these things. Right. So this is the example of how system-centered life can look like, where you feel wrong for not having taken the system's identity that it's giving to you, and instead makes you feel like you don't have a choice but to belong and take over the identity. Now, and the same goes for the humanitarian identity, right? And this is again from my own example is that the system makes you feel that if you leave it, you will not make it in the outside world. And that's also the fascinating part is that when I was leaving the UN, right, a lot of people were telling me, well, can you really make it? And how can you? And You probably can't. What if you will come back and you will be ashamed? So, in other words, the system makes you feel that you are so much part of this identity. You have taken over the identity to a point that you are in competition with other people as to how great you are at this identity, and it keeps rewarding you and getting you to the higher level in the hierarchy, right? You get in competition with other people as to how great you know their stuff and how great you support the system instead of being in the competition for doing good. And I love that because some fellow Kyrgyz people are doing some amazing work, and they were telling that let us be in competition for doing something good for other people rather than being in competition for the sake of being in competition, right? And I really love this concept, so therefore I'm using it to say that whenever we keep supporting the system, what we then end up doing is we end up competing to excel at showcasing our identities as part of that system, showcasing how well we know the system, showcasing how well we know what is right and what is wrong within the system, rather than competing for how well we can deliver that assistance that we want to, how well we want to structure it in a way or efficient in a way that serves the most people or serves the people in the most deeper way. And that is, I find, very, very troubling, right? So that's why the system makes you not only feel wrong for not taking the identity, but also make sure that you know subconsciously at the level that you can't even control anymore, right? You know subconsciously at the level where you can't live without it. Like if you live, you can't live without it. And you better think many, many times over before making a decision to leave. And that's also the patriarchal system does the same. And that's the fascinating part to me. It's like I can't believe like how patriarchal systems and other very sophisticated systems, including humanitarian systems, sophisticated in the sense of how like profoundly established systems, how they make you feel wrong for wanting to leave and feel wrong for wanting to do things the way you want to do and make you feel wrong or make you feel like you can't live without it if you leave. And therefore, divorce is seen in my culture, and I'm sure in many other cultures, is seen something so heavy and burdensome on women because they feel like they should be ashamed of doing this. They should be ashamed of not wanting to live with a husband who is violent or who is emotionally violent. They feel so ashamed of not being able to make the marriage work, and they feel ashamed of whether they can actually leave or not. And most importantly, they even question whether they can make it outside in the world or not. And that's why it takes a lot of people, a lot of women, so long before they actually dare to divorce, right? And that is what system does. System makes you not only adjust, adapt, and belong and do what it says and make all the sacrifices that it asks you to do, but also it wants you to take the identity that it's giving to you. And it tells you if you don't have this identity, then you cannot make it in the other world. So you better be part of it and take over this identity and make it your own in a way that you are going to like defend it until the retirement age. And then we don't care, right? It wants you to make it your problem if you were not able to manage stresses and pressures that it offers. And if you are burnt out or depressed, then it says, well, this is actually your fault because you weren't able to handle it. Right. So you can see how this, sorry that I'm taking a lot of time on, excuse me, on really showcasing how system-centered life looks like, is where the system, whatever this system is, whether it's a humanitarian system, whether it's another oppressive system, or whether it is a patriarchal system, religious system, whatever other systems there might be. And I'm sorry that I'm putting them in the same category, but I'm just wanting to showcase how system-centered life is making us do all the things possible to continue being in it, continue defending it, continue making it powerful, continue letting it dominate our lives, continue being the center of our lives. And then everything else that we do, we tend to then do on the side when everything else is taken care of. Right? And I have challenged this system in so many different ways. And I'm sure you have, if you've been following me, you have heard about this for so, like, in so many ways. And the recent post, I think yesterday, that I did was about one of the ways that I have challenged it, is when my parents told me that I should marry this guy, right? Whatever the guy that they always chose me, I should marry this guy. I should be doing this. And that's also part of my parents' system that they wanted to impose on me. And the systems that they knew how was, as long as you have a husband, as long as you have children, as long as that person does not beat you, as long as you have a job, as long as you have a house, then everything is fine. This is how system-centered life that they wanted to impose on me. And I have challenged and resisted and not gave in to that pressure all of my life. And then I decided to live to build a relationship with someone who I really love. And I find that we tend to be good at it when it comes to choosing partners, or many of us are good at it when it comes to choosing partners, where we know that we want to really go for the person that we are choosing instead of allowing whatever other traditional systems impose on us, right? But I find that many of us may not be good at it when it comes to not letting system, like humanitarian system or maybe religious system or oppressive other systems, make us do things that make us do things in their ways, and how we resist that, I find we haven't really learned how to do that. And therefore, I would like to showcase my way of doing it. And of course, it may not fit your way of doing it, but I just want to showcase how it is possible in general, so that you know that you can also think about creating your way of doing it, and then start slowly getting out of that system-centered way of living life. So, the way that I have been living my life is I think it has been now quite a few years, especially after I have transitioned out of the UN, after I have worked through my identity of I can live without UN, I can do whatever I want without UN, I can be successful living my life the way I want to without UN. I have worked through all of those identity topics. And therefore, the way that maybe if I make it very concrete on day to day so that you can relate to it maybe even more completely, and then I will go more into the identity piece. Day to day, the way that my life looks like is the only fixed things in my life currently are my meetings with my clients, my humanitarian clients that I want to support to live the life that they really want to, right? That is the only fixed things in my calendar. Everything else I do based on how I want to do things, meaning that I wake up very late usually, I also don't pressure myself to doing anything that I have to. I don't have anything I have to. In fact, I know that if I feel pressured, stressed out, I have to, or I have to do hard work and all of these things. If I do those things, then I don't really enjoy doing what I love. And instead, I just end up doing things and feeling mechanical. And I don't want things to be mechanical, right? So therefore, I wake up whenever I wake up. I then have a long breakfast. Usually I of course take shower and then have breakfast, right? And then so I don't even put alarms. Sometimes I put alarms if my sessions are a bit early, but usually I tend not to. And then I have my day where I coach myself, whether it's in a restaurant or at home. I sometimes work from restaurants, and I love doing that. And then I get my coaching myself and meditating and getting all of my creativity out. And then I start working on those creative things, whatever they might be. I may even spend the whole morning working on those creative ideas. I did that yesterday. I was in a cafe, sitting there from the morning until, I don't know, 1 o'clock or something, just working on my ideas, creative ideas, and even not for the sake of doing something with it, but for the sake of thinking and reflecting and loving that process, right? And then I post things that I find very, like it fuels me in a way to share this with other people. I post or I do these type of videos where I have really thought something through and then I want to share this with the world so they see that what if there are other ways to do things, to doing things, right? And therefore I do these things. And then the other activity that I have is I have sessions with my clients, and yesterday, for instance, I had amazing client sessions with my clients, and in those sessions, I also work towards accomplishing their dreams with them. And because we're both so fully in on accomplishing those dreams or going for those dreams, therefore it just feels so good to be doing that with those people, right? And I also get to work on the impact and on the results that we want to create. And then in the evening, I spend time with my loved ones. I've been spending a lot of times with my mom and sister and their children. And at home, I do that with my husband. And I do that also throughout the day here because I work from home. But in back home, my husband works from the office. So that's why I do that when he gets home. So that is how my life looks like on the day-to-day basis, where it doesn't involve anything that I don't want to do. It doesn't involve anything reporting or pressured way of doing things according to whatever rules. It doesn't have any of those things. It also doesn't have any of the structure of you have to do one thing and then the next thing and the third thing and the fourth thing. And then I don't do any of those things. I also don't like travel and go to things that I should be, or I don't show up as an expert in something if I haven't done it myself, right? I always give examples to people from my own experience of how I have done it, how I have helped others, to see if that is relevant to them. So that is on the like more practical ways of how my life is without system in place, where there is no system that is defining when I can go on vacation or not, when I can do the job or not, when I can go to the office 9 to 6, 9 to 5 or not. There is no system that does that. I define, and my definition is I'm going to divide my day-to-day life into the meeting with my amazing clients. And then creativity as the next one, right? Now, that is when it comes to day to day. Now, in terms of the identity piece, and I think this is where it gets more interesting, is that I no longer have any worthiness issues. I no longer have any belonging issues. I no longer have any fitting in or adjusting, adapting issues. I no longer have any guilt-driven issues. And this is something that, think about it, how it would have been before, where not only I was doubting whether I can make it outside in the world without the UN, but I would also feel guilty for having even tried or wanting to, and also having or feeling guilty for questioning all of the things of my identity that I knew back in the day. And of course, it had a lot of good elements that made me grow, and that's for sure. But also, when the more I started looking at like how what are the topics that I no longer struggle with, that I see many of my humanitarian clients struggle with because they are still part of that system-centered life. That I don't struggle with is, for instance, that I don't struggle with money in the sense of, oh, I can't make money if I don't belong to this system. I don't have that fear anymore. I believe that we are human beings capable of making whatever the money we want to. I also don't struggle with, oh, I'm not worthy, or I'm not dignified if I'm not part of the system, or if I'm let go, or all of those things, because I believe that my identity is not tied to any systems, and I don't want it to be tied to any systems either. So therefore, I'm fine with that. I also feel very confident in myself and trusting in myself and who I am, irrespective of whether I'm part of a system or not part of a system. I also believe that I'm capable of creating whatever life I want to, working on whatever cause I want to, making whatever the money and living whatever I want to. And no system can stop me or allow me or define whether and how I can do it. Right. And if you think about it, if we become aware of how we are able or capable of living life without whatever the system that we have been part of, and we fear if we leave, we're going to not survive. If we know that leaving that system, or know that without that system-centered life, our lives can be very relaxed, very peaceful, very worthy, very confident, very I can do whatever I want, freedom, that does not involve a lot of fitting in and adapting, adjusting, and belonging, and feeling guilty, all of those sacrifices, whatever it is. If it doesn't involve those things, then why not do that, right? Why not go for that life? And I believe that we would all have been doing that if it hadn't been for the systems fears, or systems imposition on how we can't do this on our own. If it hadn't been for those things, if it hadn't been for how our fears are so strong, if we think of something alternative, and therefore we don't actually get to do that. And that's why I really want us to work together on this, because coaching has been helping me in removing that system-centered life from my DNA little by little. And I have been able to feel free for the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, in the way that I can't even imagine. Wow, how different it is, how different it can feel. And I would like us to work on this. If you feel like, yes, it's time now for me to really question the way that I have been doing things, really question the way I have been trying to belong, the way I have been trying to avoid feeling a troublemaker, where I have been feeling like I really want to do something else, but at the same time fearing that, oh my God, this is really my identity. If you are in that place, then we should really work on this. So that's why I would love to invite you to work on removing the system centered life or parts of it that you don't want to, and create your unique life centered way of living. And I would like to help you get there. So if you feel like that's something that you really want to, then come to my group coaching where I can support you a lifetime of support, where we get to do this for as long as you would want to, and live it in practical terms so that you start understanding how life can be without that system dominating everything in your life. Have a beautiful week and talk to you very soon.